I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know that since almost half of our audience is male, I cover fully male topics at times and other times just specifically female topics. Most of the times, it's messages for all of you, right? Not gender specific. Today's book is written for women, but I want you to know, if you're a man listening today, this message is for you too. So I want you to keep listening. I'm telling you, it'll do your heart good. I feel like my friend we're interviewing today has a word for all of us. In fact, Jamie Ivey is her name, and she's written an incredible new book titled You Be You, Why Satisfaction and Success Are Closer Than You Think. And she writes this: you can do this. You can show up for the life that God has already ordained for you. You have nothing, nothing to lose, everything to gain. It's your day now, my friend, your day, your place to live the kind of life that you and others can look back on and say, she used her days well. She was faithful to the end. I so want that person to be me, and I have a small suspicion you want it for yourself as well. Isn't that great? We'll get her on in just a sec. Quick announcement, two of them actually. All this month, we're giving away copies on Faith Radio, giving away copies of my 365-day devotional Prevail hardcover. It's just, Bethany House did an amazing job with it. Four copies a week, and it's been sold out in a lot of places. So I'm super excited that we can do that for you. So you can sign up to win on our website at myfaithradio.com. Also, we've got a live stream event coming up next week, Thursday, January 28th, Dr. Jill Carnahan and I will talk about physical and spiritual disciplines, healthy habits that last. So mark your calendars, Thursday night, January 28th. More information coming up. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Jamie Ivey's creator and host of the popular podcast, The Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey, a central gathering place for talking about life in Jesus. She told the raw redemptive story that brought her to this place in her debut book, If Only You Knew. She and her husband, Aaron, make their home for 6+ guests, come anytime, she says, in Austin, Texas. Jamie, welcome back to the program. It's been way too long.
Susie, thanks for having me. I'm loving being back with you.
Well, looking forward to talking about this book. It's fantastic. And before we dig into the content, we love to start every day talking scripture. And I know you love spending time with the Lord. So what's he been speaking to you about these days?
You know, it is true. I do love that. And we're speaking in, you know, mid-January. And a lot of people are like, okay, it's January, a new year. What am I going to do? And I have done different things for studying God's word. And this year, I decided to read the New Testament all year. So I'm in Matthew. And, you know, it's a joy to go back and read Jesus's sermon that he did in the Sermon on the Mount. And I remember there was a particular part that is, it's funny how every time I read this, I feel like it ministers to me in whatever season I'm in. But when Jesus was teaching, I just read this, you know, a week or two ago about do not be anxious. And, you know, it's funny, Susie, because during quarantine last year, I went to this sermon a lot and read Jesus's words and these particular verses about not being anxious when he's at the end of Matthew 6. And I think it's still true for me today. And, you know, anxiety and fear is something I struggle with. And when Jesus is talking to the people there that he was giving his sermon to and to us now as we read his words, he's just so gentle with us mm-hmm. and so clear about how he is the one who provides for us. And just recently, I have no idea why there are so many birds around my house these days. I literally want to find someone who can tell me why are there so many birds recently. But I'll find myself sitting on my front porch just watching these birds. And it's true what God said. Like, they don't think about what's next. They just trust that it's going to be there. And I want to be that way so much. And 2020 brought a lot of anxiety into my own life and other people's lives. And when I read Jesus's words, I'm just reminded, like, he is telling us, I'm here to take care of you. I am the one who is going to take care of you. If I take care of the birds, I'm definitely going to take care of you. And so I'm loving just diving into Matthew and the beginning of this year and going to spend the whole year in the New Testament. And so God's just been really reminding me in that in particular. And listen, we could talk for 17 days about just the first couple of chapters of Matthew, but that's what stood out to me when you asked me that.
You know, this is exactly why I asked that question. As I'm listening to you, I know that there are many listening today who needed to hear that very simple message that Jesus is going to take care of you. In fact, friends, I forgot to tell you, we got a stack of copies of Jamie's book. Here it is. I love the title. It's something a consultant actually said to me several years ago. You be you. That's so freeing, isn't it? You be you.
Yeah.
Why satisfaction and success are closer than you think. It's a hardcover book from Brodmann and Holman. And you want in on the drawing? Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. So talk to me about the inspiration behind this book. I mean, you've got a quiver full at home. You've got a very busy podcast. You've got a lot going on, and it's no small thing to write a book in the midst of all of that. So talk about how the inspiration, the message was first born in your heart.
Yeah, even the words you be you have been so important to me over the last couple of years, because it's very easy to look around and think that everyone else has it going on. You know,
everyone
has the best marriage. Everyone has the best job. Everyone has the best kids. Everyone has the best body. Fill in the blank. And you just start to think, if I had what she had. And again, I love how you said this is for men as well, because my husband's like, this book is for everybody. But if you look around and think, if I had what they had, whether that be, you know, something physically or their talents or their gifts, you start to believe the lie that says, then I'd be useful to the kingdom, or then I'd be able to do great things. And you look at your life and go, I'm just, and fill in the blank with whatever you're feeling. And I started to get that sentiment from a lot of women who were just feeling like they weren't enough. And I wanted to write a book to say, listen, God has created you with gifts and talents and passions because he wants you to use them. And I just want us as followers of Jesus to trust him, to trust that God in his word, when he says that he's created you to do good works, like, yes, he has created you to do good things, like use the things he's given you. So that's what the whole premise of the book came from, is me wanting to encourage women in particular, but anyone who picks it up, just to know that, man, you have value and God sees value with you and he wants you to do something with the life he's given you.
Hey, man, you know, it's the thing that one of the greatest hindrances, Jamie, is when we're constantly comparing, which puts us into self-preservation. So the combination of, on one hand, be you, kind of, I used to say, fill your space and run your race. You know, you be you, fill your space, run your race, but then believe God for bigger things. Because I think when we're so perpetually in fear, which I've battled fear so much as well, and then in comparison, all it does is puts us in a position to play not to lose, not to play to win. So this combination I see in your book, this combined message is, first of all, you got to know who you are and that God loves how he made you. He didn't make any mistakes. Second of all, what he wants to do in and through you is even bigger than you and not even just about you. So say a bit more about that.
Yeah. And I think also, Susie, sometimes when we do that, we devalue the beauty of God's kingdom. It's when we start to think, oh, well, he only uses this person or this type of person or this gifting. And really, God is saying the beauty of what I'm building here is that I need all of you. And so for me to compare my life to yours, because you may have whatever I think I might need, it also says, God, I don't trust that you actually want to use me. And so that comparison, it just breeds things in us that nobody wants. It breeds envy. It breeds greed. It breeds jealousy. It breeds distrust. It just brings up all of these things when we spend our life looking at someone else's life and wishing we had their life, instead of actually spending our life looking at our own life and doing things with what we have. And so I think the bigger, I mean, there's personal problems with that. If I think I'm not going to be doing the things God wants me to do, but I also, if we are kingdom minded, man, I want everyone to know that they have a part and that it matters. And I think that's something that we can offer each other when we're encouraging our friends. Like, maybe today I'm the one that needs encouragement and tomorrow it's you. It's that we can remind each other, hey, this kingdom needs everybody to pitch in and do what they're doing, because that's how the kingdom of God grows, is when he uses all of us.
Hallelujah. Somebody give me an amen. When I ask for an amen, Jamie, we get some texts, a whole bunch of texts come in. Amen. So sometimes
amen.
I just gotta get one of those. Fantastic. Well, would you mind, as much as you're able, comfortable, talk about some of the landmark moments in your life that changed not only the trajectory of your life, but your approach to life, your perspective on what actually matters?
Yeah, you know, I've had a, you know, quote unquote typical kind of, you know, journey, you know, graduating college. And then I was a stay-at-home mom. I was grateful for that season of being a stay-at-home mom. But something that happened within that season, we have four kids, like you said, is that I started to believe the lie that as a stay-at-home mom, my husband was the one that was doing ministry and my husband was the one that was doing great things. And I was just here with these kids, right? And it's a lie that a lot of women can fall into. And I think something that was really big for Aaron and I, as when we would have conversations about how we were both a part of the mission of our family. And so, you know, that goes into this whole conversation of like, man, that's the season that God had me in. I could either regret it every day. I could look at it and hate it. I could yearn for, you know, 10 years down the road when the kids were grown, or I could really, really stand up and be who he wanted me to be. And so conversations with Aaron, my husband, of us really saying, hey, we're on mission together. We just look different. That was monumental for me when I was a stay-at-home mom. And I think that a lot of people feel that way and just need someone to look at them and say, hey, you're on mission too. Like, you're doing great things and it matters.
Wow. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation talking to Jamie Ivey. If you have not checked out her podcast, you really ought to. Her book, brand new, You Be You, Why Satisfaction and Success Are Closer Than You Think. If you just want so much to start to be comfortable in your own skin, to love your story, and then to believe God to do great things that you maybe never dreamed about, I want you to text in to get in on the drawing. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. One thing Jamie says is she thinks maybe we've been asking ourselves some of the wrong questions. We'll address some of those wrong questions and maybe think of some better questions we ought to ask ourselves. More with Jamie Ivey just a moment. Popping in the studio. I love that song. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Jamie Ivey. Her book titled You Be You, Why Satisfaction and Success Are Closer Than You Think. We've got a stack of this hardcover book to give away. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Love, Victoria, Kathy, Janet said, amen, amen, amen back to you. All right, so I love this. She said, I think we've been asking ourselves the wrong questions about our lives. Instead of asking, did I do enough today? What if we asked ourselves, did I become more like Jesus today? Instead of asking, was I successful? What if we asked, was I faithful? Say more if you would, Jamie.
You know, I think this conversation about success is a scary one sometimes for women, especially Christian women. We want to be successful, but we're like, is that okay to be successful? And, you know, that was where the subtitle came from, that I think success and satisfaction are closer than we think. And I think we often label success as, you know, maybe monetary or a project that you finished or whatever. And I think that maybe we could look at our lives and be knowing and know that we're successful by the way that we're growing more in love with Jesus. And so instead of at the end of the day, did I do enough? Because that can be a question we get to our end of the day every day. Really, did I do enough? Did I get everything done? Or even, you know, am I doing the right thing? What if we just ask ourselves, man, was I faithful to God's calling on my life today? Or do I look more like Jesus today? I have a Bible study on Wednesday mornings and we were talking today about sanctification. And when we think about that, it's like, man, every day by God's grace and how he works in our life, we should look more like Jesus than the day before. And I think that's a question I want to ask myself, man, instead of like, how's my show doing? Or how am I being successful in work? What if we looked at our life and took inventory every day and said, man, do I look more like Jesus today than I did yesterday? And do I look more like Jesus than I did a year ago? That to me is when, as followers of Jesus, that we start to look at our lives and be like, man, we can be satisfied and we can feel successful where we are when we're looking at it through the lens of the gospel. And the gospel says that this journey of life is to look more like Jesus. And that's been a really life-giving thing for me, Susie, is to change that mindset of my brain of at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of this year, 2021, I want to look more like Jesus than I did last year.
Amen. Wow. My daughter-in-law said she watched a TED Talk the other day, and she said that for her, you know, for millennials, 80% of millennials, their goal is to be rich. 50% is to be famous. And she said, you know, she said, I'm not going to lie. In years past, I have felt that pull and I could never explain it. But she said, you know, as she walks closely with God, she said she can just, it's the opposite of what she know God wants for her. She said, I'm just finding such joy of being intimate with God, and shining a light in my community and loving my husband well. And I mean, to listen to her, and it was so countercultural to listen to her talk about, you know, going to doing something different than what the trend is right now. But maybe talk about, you know, I mean, you and I have seen this as well in public ministry. Talk about how the celebrity culture has negatively impacted the quality of our lives. I mean, even the poll and the 5 minutes of fame, that's everywhere.
Yeah. You know, that's what I was going to say when you're talking about that. It makes me think that when all we see our, you know, what we see on our phones, and we're following people's lives that we don't actually know, we think they must have the joy that we're missing, or they must have the success or the happiness or whatever. And so then we start to think, well, I just long to be like them, and they're successful and they're famous and they, maybe they're rich, fill in the blank, whatever you're looking at. And I think that has been a hindrance to a lot of people in the way that they view the way that our lives should be. And it happens within the church all the time, for people to look at someone else's life and think, well, they must be happy because they look happy online. And so I must be doing something wrong. Maybe I should do what they're doing, which is why, I mean, I love social media, Susie, as much as the next person, but I cannot find my worth or my value or even see what people's real lives are like based on social media. I have to have real life community with people around me. And again, we are living in a global pandemic. That is difficult. I get that. But there are still seasons and times and ways that we can connect with people in our same, you know, life stage and where we are in life, and get to see exactly what's fulfilling them. And we see the gospel played out because we can start to believe the lie that everything online is how real life is. And that's just false and not true, which is then like that TED talk that she saw, which is then driving people to say, well, I just want to be rich and famous because everyone that's rich and famous looks like they're having a good time and they're fun and, you know, they're full of joy, but we only see what they show us. And so it's so important to have real life friends so that you can have those conversations of, this is what Jesus is showing me. This is what, how Jesus is moving. And you get to experience that true joy in community with people.
Very good. What are some of the other ways, Jamie, that we put undue pressure on ourselves, that we get in our own way? You know, we are the ones who diminish our quality of life, maybe because of the story we tell ourselves or our self-berating thoughts. I mean, you do this podcast. What do you see that it just most often pops up that we could actually change because we have everything to do with what we're telling ourselves?
Yeah, I think that we sometimes make certain gifts and talents like they're the epitome of what should be the best. And what I mean by that is I'm going to use you and I, we both do radio shows. So I'll use both of us, podcasts and radio. People might say, well, they're awesome because look what they're doing and look how many people are listening to them. And I think what we do is like you said, we diminish our own gifts. We get in our own way. So then we start to believe that if you have this particular gift, then you're really going to be used by God. When, I mean, that's what this whole message is. Instead of going, wow, I have an amazing gift of hospitality. How can God use that? And maybe not 10,000 people will be listening to me. Maybe the four people I make dinner for will be blessed by my gift today. And that still matters. And so I think when we start, and that's that celebrity culture, that is everything that we have where we put people on a pedestal, we start to think those are the ones that matters. And I think we go back to scripture and see, we need the whole body, you know, like Paul's talking about, if we didn't have the ear, where would it be, or the hand, whatever. And so I just want people to go back to a time where they didn't have to always see what everyone else was doing. And listen, that's like the dumbest statement I've ever said, to go back to a time. Here's where we are. This is what we're doing. And I love social media, but I want us to take it for what it is. I guess that's my point. Right. I want us to look at social media as what it is. It's just something, but it's not real all the time. And so I want desperately for women to show up to their life, because what no one wants is to get to the end and think, I spent so much time looking at Becky in Florida, thinking that Becky in Florida was amazing, but I didn't even know Becky in Florida. I'm here in Texas trying to live my life, but I was so concerned with Becky in Florida. And I don't want that. You don't want that. We really don't want that. And so let's just look at all the ways that God's gifted us and know that they matter.
Amen. You know, you're thinking as you're talking about the Gospels, you know, you follow Jesus around and even the disciples, some of the most amazing things happened in small, small groups, in the intimacy of community. And the larger the crowd got, the more, you know, the more there was potential for trouble, because there were some that were following him and hanging on every word. There were others who were curious, so they were in the mob. Others were in the mob looking for a chance to get dirt on him. And wouldn't you just say that that's true? You know, we want this fame and we want likes and followers, but the more people you get who really don't know you and know your heart and would be able to give you the benefit of the doubt, the more you're going to have a mixture of people with different motives. I mean, I'm not sure why we aspire to that, but man, you think Jesus was a friend of sinners. They were drawn to him around his bonfire, around his table for a reason. But it seems like the deepest ministry happened in those smaller contexts, you know?
It's so beautiful. And it's just a reminder. I'm glad you said that. It's such a reminder of how God has like certain people in our lives for certain seasons and how they can really benefit us. And although, you know, both you and I have public ministries, listen, nothing goes on a book or comes out of my mouth or anything on an Instagram post that I haven't walked through that with my friends, you know, who are able to pour into my life and really speak into it in ways that matter. And so I think that's something to remember as well, is that there's an intimacy to these personal friendships, just like we see Jesus had with his disciples, that really they're important and they matter.
When you kind of came to a place where you decided, I'm just going to be me, and that's going to look different than other people. What did that process look like? I mean, did you feel like you bumped up against certain things at times, or did you just sort of flip a switch and go, that's it, I'm just going to be who God made me to be. I'm going to try to grow comfortable in my own skin and follow his lead for my path. I mean, tell me about that process for you.
Yeah, I mean, I have like two examples that come to my mind. One, it feels so minimal, but kind of funny, is, you know, I would be the person who would always sign up for meals to take people, you know, like if someone has a baby or whatever, like you get the little calendar invite, right, in your email. Mm-hmm. And I felt that as, you know, as a Christian, as a pastor's wife, it is my obligation and duty to bring a meal. And I would sign up Susie all the time. And what that led to in my house was frustration, anxiety, and usually me leaving the kitchen crying and Aaron having to take through. I don't cook on my meals at home for my family. Like, I am not the person in our house. My husband cooks almost every meal we eat. In fact, today he's going to be gone, and I'm already thinking, like, how am I going to feed these children? Okay, so that's not my gifting. And I remember one time Aaron said to me, as I was just so frustrated trying to follow a recipe for stuffed bell peppers. This is what I was making. I'll never forget it. And he said, Jamie, why do you say yes to this? And I was like, I'm supposed to, right? Like, this part of the gig? I'm a pastor's wife. I'm a Christian. Like, you just say yes to bringing meals. And he's like, you don't even cook for your own family. You hate cooking. Why are you cooking for other people? And that is a funny little small example, but it made me go, you know what? I'm not good at this. I don't enjoy this. I think there's other ways I can help this person who just had a baby other than stressing my whole entire family out to make stuffed bell peppers. And so it's just those small things too for me that went, you know what? That's not what I'm good at. And so I'm not going to do it because that's not what God's created me to do. I can make the meal train. I'm very good at organizing. I will send out all the emails, but I'm not going to do that. And so that's a small way. But then another way, Susie, just through my podcast in the past couple of, you know, 7 to 8 years, I've had the unique opportunity, and I'm so honored and blessed to be able to stand before churches and women and preach God's word and encourage women. And that's been such a joy for me. But in the early days, I would look around and I would look at some of my other friends who were also doing this, and I would think, God, they're so good. Man, they've been to seminary. They never stumble over their words. All the things.
So sorry, Jamie. We have a hard break, but I want you to hold that thought because I want you to finish it on the other side. We're going to take a quick break. More with Jamie Ivey in just a moment. Tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Jamie Ivey. Her new book is titled You Be You, Why Satisfaction and Success Are Closer Than You Think. And I love this. She says, I want you to show up for your life. I want you to believe and trust that he has good things for you, and that he wants to use you to do big things right where you are. I want you convinced that you'll make the greatest impact on your world when you allow him to work through you right where he's planted you. I want you to be you. I've got a handful of copies to give away, and this book just will make you smile, make you laugh, and inspire you exactly to do that, to be you. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So before the break, I'm so sorry we had to cut you off there. I'd asked you, what was that process look? What did it look like for you to just start to be comfortable with who God made you to be? And I laughed so hard when you said you signed up for the meal train, because instantly I thought, oh, she's one of those good cooks, because I'm not. And you're like, you just did it anyway. But then you realized, I don't have to do this. And then you started to talk about, you know, you've been doing your podcast. I think you have 25 million downloads or some crazy number like that. But when you first started, you noticed others who maybe were further down the path. Take the story from there.
Yeah. And I would notice others who were doing what I was stepping into doing brand new. And I would think, they're so gifted. They're so talented. They went to seminary. They never stumble over their words. They can say all the words correctly. They never make up words. I make up words all the time. My husband will text me and be like, you just made up a word. I'm like, I know, I can't help it. And so I just started to think, man, I don't know why these people are inviting me to minister to their women. And again, God has used my husband, Aaron, to speak so much truth into my life over the years. But he would just say to me, they invited you because they wanted you. And if they wanted someone else, they would have invited them. And I think just that concept of like trusting that people are for you and that they invited you because they wanted you and they want what you bring to the table. And I think that is important for us to remember as we do everything in our lives, whether you work in ministry or you do ministry in, you know, a secular setting, whatever that might be, is that we can be confident in the gifts that we have, and we can be confident in the way God made us. And of course it's different than the other people. Thank goodness it's different. Like, who would want the whole world to be full of Jamie Ivies? That would be the worst world I could ever imagine, because we'd be missing so many amazing things. And so those two moments that stand out to particular, one kind of funny, just about making meals, and then one about really trusting that God wants to use me the way I am, have been really, really monumental for me. And then once you think those things, Susie, you just kind of you step into things with kind of an easier step when you think,
yep,
I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to show up to who I am.
Yeah. And you don't despise the days of small beginnings, because I think God allows that process of, you know, he puts people in front of us to say, you know, if it quickens something in us, it's almost like I'm showing you this, not to make you jealous, but to show you what's possible. Now you step into it, and we all have to be humble enough to be the newbie when we're stepping into a new space.
Yeah.
But as we learn our way, I think it grounds us and it prepares us. And I think it's just, you know, one thing I've noticed after walking with God a lot of years is he was guiding me even when I was unaware. As I walked intimately with him, he was guarding and guiding steps and using some of the most nuanced things to prepare me. And I love the story in your chapter, Your Seat at the Table. And you tell the story about the day your life changed forever. And it had something to do with your local country station. You have to tell us that story.
It's just the best ever. I was, you know, stay-at-home mom. I was driving my kids around. I remember exactly where I was here in Austin, Texas, when my favorite radio station, which was a country station, had an advertisement where they were opening up to an open casting call for anyone to send in a demo and basically try out to be a new host on the morning show. They had a very popular morning show already, and they were adding another voice to the table. And I have no idea, Susie, except for I'll just blame it on the Holy Spirit. I thought, you know what? I'm going to send in a tape. I had never even spoken to a microphone before. I'd never done anything in my life like that. And I sent in a tape. My husband is a musician. We had a studio in our backyard. So we made a 60-second demo and sent it in. And long story short, I ended up winning that contest. And it's just the craziest thing, because here I am today, and that decision changed my entire professional life, for sure. And I look back and I think, I like that girl that did that. I like the Jamie that said, I'm just going to try, you know, I'm just going to send it in. And who knows? I never in a million, never did I think I would win the job. I thought it'd be really fun. And so that started, a handful of years later, I started my podcast, and it's just changed my whole life. And so I like that I didn't even know I had something in me until it presented opportunity. And then I learned, hey, I think I have a gift and I like this. And how can I use this to further the kingdom? I was furthering the kingdom when I worked at a country radio station, and I'm furthering the kingdom now at a Christian podcast. And so I just really look at that and think, man, you never know the ways God's going to change your life
so true.
The smallest little, I'm going to take a step out of faith and do something.
So how long did you host a morning show for?
It was so fun, Susie. I was only there for 4 months. It's kind of a longer story, except for three of our kids are adopted, and two of them had just been home from Haiti for 1 year. And when I went back to work, it was my first time to work since before we had kids, and life just got really hard at home. And so I ended up having to quit, which is a whole nother crazy story about how God used that. But I was there for 4 months. I loved it. It was my favorite job until what I do now that I'd ever had in my entire life.
Well, it prepared you, and that's just the thing. And
yeah,
I think this is why you pay attention to those little things that happen in your heart. You know, I've shared this on the show before, but, you know, I started out as a speaker, then I became an author, and I was well into that, into ministry, when one day, you know, I was in studio for a radio interview, And I used to be in fitness, in the fitness industry for 15 years. And when you teach fitness classes, you're executing one move while you're cueing the next. So you're pointing and you're cueing the next while your body's doing
the turn. I don't know how y'all do it. Yes, yeah. Y'all are amazing.
Anyway, you know, that my brain works that way. So as I'm in studio watching the host talk to me and cue the producer, my heart leapt within me. And I'm a total introvert. I way prefer one-on-one with big crowds, you know. And here I'm speaking to big crowds, but it's like my heart is for the smaller space. And every time I would be in studio, I would get that little leap within me. And so finally I'm like, Lord, if this is you, grow it. And if it's some kind of selfish whatever, take it. And it just kept growing and growing to the point where I was just like, Lord, you got to give me my own show. And I just started to pray audaciously, and that's another story too. But to pay attention when you walk intimately with God, to pay attention to these little nuanced moments when God is sort of quickening in you. You know what I'm saying? Where you like you felt inspired. Yeah. I mean, there's something to that, you know?
Yeah. And I think there's something too, like you just said, like you felt something about something you were doing and you wanted to chase after that. And I think sometimes we get so afraid of failing that we refuse to chase. And mm-hmm. you could have failed, I could have failed, whatever could have happened, but we would have never known if we wouldn't have listened and then acted on that. And so I love that story of you saying, I'm just going to like pray and ask that God's going to keep moving. And he did. And thank goodness, because we have this all the time to listen to. I'm so thankful
for
that.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, just so people don't, you know, glamorize it too much. You know, I started to guest host, and I was probably guest hosting for a year or two, and a show opened up and I applied and I didn't get it. So I guest hosted for four years, and a lot of it was volunteer, right? And you know what? God just kept saying, humble yourself, serve, humble yourself. Mm-hmm. And then the door opened and the rest is history. And that was 15 years ago when I started guest hosting. So,
wow.
But again, you know, I'm just thinking there's times where it's hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait. And that is part of the process too, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've just seen what's going to happen. And we know we're not guaranteed anything's going to happen. But I think also, like, I learned more about God's character through trusting him in those moments than I would have I not stepped out as well. So I think there's always something that God teaches us no matter what the outcome is. And again, it goes back to, did I look more like Jesus today than I did I did yesterday? That's not based on a successful radio show. That's based on, man, how am I leaning into Jesus?
Yeah. Humbling myself and trusting his timing and not grabbing for myself. And so let's talk a bit about, you know, just because I want so much, you know, for people to hear, you know, you stepped into this country western station, you did that. And I love that. That is how God does things. He's like, are you going to trust me? And then are you going to trust me again? And you've got this quiver full at home. When you started the podcast and you talked about even that, as anybody would feel, just it's scary to step out. What other kind of opposition have you faced over the years that it maybe has really taught you to depend on God, to trust him? Because I know it's not just been a skating path for you. I'm sure it hasn't been.
Yeah, no, not for sure. I mean, not at all. And starting the podcast for me was just a fun, creative hobby. I didn't set out to start a company. I didn't set out to be an author. I didn't set out to have employees. I didn't set out to do any of that. I just set out to have a fun, creative outlet. And so I think one of the things that's been really, really challenging for me as we've grown is, how do I step into leadership and making decisions about what we're going to do next? And are we going to create a new podcast or a new YouTube show and all of those things? And it's been challenging because I had to step into a job that I never knew I could do. And so to trust that, man, if I really believe that God is sovereign and that he's prepared all of our days for us, then I have to believe that he's with me in this. And I have to believe that he wants the best for me. And I have to believe that I can trust him with my decisions and my brain and my emotions and all the things. And those were just new things for me, Susie, because I was a teacher before we had kids and then stay-at-home mom. And so that's been a journey for me as well that I think is also not talked about a lot of just, it seems glamorous, but there's so many behind the scene things of having to really trust God. Is this the right step that you want me to take? And then having to step out and not know the outcome of what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you had no idea where this would take you, but you stepped into the contest just because you felt the nudge to do so. Then you stepped into the podcast. And I mean, he rarely gives us the outcome or the path all laid out. He just asks us to trust him. And I just think that's so beautiful. But I wonder if you could talk to the person today who's not so sure about her seat at the table or his seat at the table, where they know they've got saving knowledge. You know, they've trusted Jesus, but the rest of it is they're maybe watching everybody else. What do you say?
Yeah, I just want to say that if you really believe that God is for you, then you have to believe that he has placed you in a place and he has given you talents. He's given you everything you need because he has a desire to use you right where you are. And again, sometimes we have to take our eyes off of the rest of the world because we start to believe lies that they have it going on and we don't. And so just to really spend some time journaling, praying, reading God's word to where you can actually start to believe, man, I think God has something for me. Like he's not inviting you to the table. You're at the table. Like you have a seat. You're here. You're a part of the mission and the kingdom, how God is bringing the good news to this world. You're already here if you're a follower of Jesus. And so don't wait and think, I need to be invited. God has already invited you when he made you his child, that you have a voice, that you can do that, and that God is going to use you right where you are. And you get to use your voice for the glory of God. No matter what your position is, no matter your marital status, no matter how your kids are acting on a Sunday morning, you get to use your voice because God's given it to you. And I also don't want to act like that's easy. That's hard. And so just to encourage you, pray, journal, really, really dive into making your heart believe the things your head knows.
And how would you, you know, this is a stuff you're so right that doesn't show up on social media. And again, only share as much as you feel led or comfortable. But as someone who's managing a lot right now, what would be some of your behind the scenes challenges that, you know, I mean, for me, it's a chronic health issue. And so, you know, two steps forward, three steps back. When I feel great, I can get a lot done. When I don't, I'm army crawling. It's just the way it is. But and I believe in God for healing, but it just hasn't happened yet. But that is just that's the kind of thorn for me. But what about you? Yeah. What behind the scenes do you feel like you have to contend with so that you can do everything God has asked you to do?
You know, I mentioned earlier about fear and anxiety, and I think that's something that I probably will constantly fight until I, you know, open my eyes and see Jesus. And so that is something of even the words I'm wrote in the book and even the words I'm saying to you is like, it's not that I have this checked off and I'm now never have to think about this again. I have to constantly fight for those things as well. And then another thing I would say is just parenting. I don't think I ever knew how hard it would be to be a parent. All four of my kids are teenagers. And so there's some unique challenges that come with that. And those things are difficult as well when you're trying to, you know, be in ministry and minister to people and also trying to be like the best mom you can be and the best wife. And sometimes those challenges can feel overwhelming. And I think that's just something too that I didn't expect of how emotionally draining it would be to be a mom, because you just, I feel like there's so much on the line and that I think I could work, you know, I talked about, you know, God's Jesus saying, I'll take care of the birds. I'll take care of you. I'm about to preach to myself right now. Like I'm constantly have to remind myself that God is going to take care of my kids way more than I ever could. And so that is a struggle that I walk through that I think is not really out in public in what I do most of the times, but it does go on in my heart, in my life.
Appreciate you sharing so much. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to talk about a passage that I keep returning to time and time again. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I just want to tell you just how it's spoken to me and would love to know what you have to say about it as well. Talking to Jamie Ivey, her book, You Be You, Why Satisfaction and Success Are Closer Than You Think. And to me, this book is an invitation for you to get a sense of who God made you to be. Not even who you think you are, but who God says you are. And then with that, you partner with him to bring God's kingdom to earth. As Jamie said, you have a seat at the table and you're called to be on mission. God has important work for you to do. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Jamie Ivey today. Her book, You Be You, Why Satisfaction and Success Are Closer Than You Think. Got a handful of copies giveaway. If you need a message to help you remember who you are, whose you are, and that you're called, text the word book to 877-933-2484. 2484. So, Jamie, I've returned to this passage time and time again. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And just to expand in, you know, my own paraphrase, godliness, becoming more like Christ through every trial, every heartache, every victory, and believing God to do great things while humbly and faithfully stewarding our current assignment. That's godliness. You know, and then that contentment, just embracing the space that we're in without constantly looking for the next big thing. Well, that combination of just walking intimately with God, of being trained and, you know, conformed to his image while embracing our current assignment, believing him for great things, is actually forward moving progress. You know, it's, we gain traction when we embrace those two things side by side. So I'd love for you to just speak to that idea, because you do kind of write about that as well.
Yeah, I think discontentment is something that is plaguing so many people. And I think a lot of times, you know, you talked about that, you know, becoming more godly and being tethered to God and his word and what he's doing. I think a lot of times we become discontent with what we have because we're trying to find we're trying to tether ourselves to things that were never meant to hold us. You know, we're trying to find our value and our worth in things that can't sustain us. You know, I think about you know, when Jesus is talking about in John 15 about, you know, abiding in him. And so many times we want the fruit of faithfulness. We want the fruit of looking more like Jesus, you know, that God tells us about and Paul talks about in Galatians. We want that, but we don't want to get it from abiding in Jesus. And that's the only way. And I think that when we abide in him and when we're tethered to him, when we are yearning for more godliness, that is when that contentment comes up in us. You know, I think of, you know, Adam and Eve, and we think that discontentment kind of got worse or more now that we have these phones that can see everyone's world in our lives. And, you know, if I was discontent with my life because of someone else's life, it's because I saw them with my eyes when I was in high school. You know, like we had to show up at school to see somebody. I think about Adam and Eve, and I just think, man, she looked around at everything that she had and everything that was hers and everything that God had given her, and this beautiful life that he had given to her and Adam in the garden. And she thought, I want more. You know, I don't trust that this is good for me. I don't trust that this is true. And Satan convinced her to disobey. And I think I look back at her, I'm like, man, her desire for what wasn't hers, like what wasn't ever hers, either because God said so in her case, or what wasn't ever hers to begin with, it cost her the blessings of what the life she had. You know, like she was taken out of the garden then. And I think so many times we have this yearning for something else. And so we try to abide in things that are not Jesus, and it doesn't ever give us the fruit we want. And it can't sustain us in hard times either. And I think that is something that 2020 has shown us all, because 2020 was hard on every level for lots of different people in different ways. And we think, man, what am I standing on? How am I yearning for godliness, and how is that going to produce contentment? Because God's word is true that you can be content in difficult situations. That's what Paul's talking about in Philippians when he's like, in all things, I can still be content, not because I'm awesome and not because I work real hard and not because I like put a smile on my face and have a good attitude, but I can only find that contentment in good and bad because of Jesus. And I think that is what we can really, really learn right now. We talk about contentment, is that only comes through Jesus.
Wow, love that so much. I, you know, folks who've listened to this show for years know I also have that battled fear on significant levels, and had something I've had to contend with over and over again. And God has been proven himself so faithful. And as you say, too, I've not checked that box and say that's a past struggle. In fact, I like what you said here. You don't want to go where fear will take you. As much as, again, you're able, comfortable, Jamie, talk about your battle. When did you first notice fear was a thing for you, and how have you processed through it? What has God taught you in all of it?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things for me is, I seem to be like a worst case scenario type of person. And so, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Enneagram, but like on the Enneagram, when you talk about different personalities, mine would be fear based. It's where I'm constantly scanning my horizon. And let me tell you, I'm 42. If I would have had this conversation with you 20 years ago, I'm a different person now. And I that's only because of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so again, like I said, I might fight this battle forever, but by the grace of God, I'm fighting harder today than I did 10 years ago. And so for me, it's just looking around, and I don't feel safe. And so I'll think about my circumstances. But I mean, a lot of it for me is about with my kids and my husband. And so this anxiety of something might happen to them. And a girlfriend of mine one time told me something that has just changed the way I think, for sure. we were standing somewhere and I told her about one of my silly anxiety thoughts. And I was like, I know it's so dumb. Like, I keep thinking about this. And she said, and it was with one of my kids. And she said, why don't you take that all the way? Like, take it all the way. Like, you go to the doctor's appointment. He does give you the bad news. You do go through treatment and you get to the end and your son dies. And she's like, take it all the way. And she said, what is still true about God? Hmm. And I was like, well, God is still good. He's still in control. He still loves me. He still loves my kid. And that, for some people, they're like, that feels morbid. For me, it is so comforting because I could get to the end of my very worst fear, because then I take the like mystery out of it. I'm like, okay, I'm anxious about one of my kids getting sick and dying. Well, let me take that all the way. And what do I still know to be true about God? And that is so comforting for someone with my personality, because I trust and love God so much that if he's still true at the end of my worst fear, then I trust him even more. And so that's something that's been really good for me. And other people are like, I just don't want to play that game, Jamie, because that's not fun. And I'm like, well, I don't want to play it either. And it's not fun. But when I'm having feelings that are irrational, and it is irrational, there's nothing telling me I should feel this way, I take it all the way to the extreme. And I find God to still be there. I find him to still be true. And I know that if that happens, that I will make it, because God did not change. For someone like me, that brings me so much comfort.
Your friend is so much more gentle than mine. She said, you have to die to these fears. And I'm like, die to these fears? I don't know how. And she says, you know what? The devil can't attack a corpse. Die. I'm like,
You just have to fight them so much. And for me, when I took it all the way, it lost the power, because it lost.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Right. See it there, all the way
there
through.
It is.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. And
that's
God
so
was
good.
Still there.
Yeah. I would have loved your friend's approach a little more gentle, but hey, it still works. So I just say that. Well, I would love to know, what do you know about God now, Jamie, that you didn't know 5 or 10 years ago?
Oh, I think what I love so much about him, and that he has taken me on such a journey, and I almost just got teary eyed, is that God is so true when he says that he will use anybody for his kingdom. Man, 10 years ago, I would even say 10 years ago, Susie, maybe 12 years ago, I had this moment of going, you know what? I'm going to choose to believe that that what he says is true, that he's not keeping records of my past, that he doesn't look at me and see the girl I used to be, that he doesn't look at me and think, golly, took her a while to, you know, figure things out. That he really looks at me and sees Jesus because of Jesus' sacrifice. And I hope I never get over that. And so just to know that, man, God loves me and he loves me. And here's also what was so good for me too, and I still can't believe it, is that if we believe that God is sovereign and he knows all things, and you know, before he even created the world, he knew the things I would do and still said, A, I'm going to create her. B, I love her. And C, I'm going to send Jesus to die for her. And to me, that's mind-blowing, because if I knew the way someone was going to hurt me, if I could have that knowledge, I would not choose to be their friend, you know? And so thank goodness God doesn't act like that. And I just like still am so impressed in the last 12 years, the way God has really, really drawn me to him. And for me to go, God, you do love me. You do look at me and you see like beauty, not because of my looks, but because of you created me and you want to use me, and you don't see those sins that still haunt me sometimes. They don't haunt you. They're gone. Jesus took them. And that is life changing.
You're right. The reason we can rejoice in our sufferings is that the suffering is doing something in us. Suffering is creating endurance. Endurance is growing our character, and the experience of seeing our character develop, the experience of seeing us truly become ourselves in God's hand, is a natural gateway to hope. Jamie, I hope you'll come back. This was fantastic. I just appreciate it so much. And thanks for writing such a great book today. God bless you, dear girl.
Thank you, Susie.
Jamie Ivey, friends, her book is titled You Be You, Why Satisfaction and Success Are Closer Than You Think. Hey, we'll leave that drawing open for a little bit now, so you can text the word book, if you haven't yet, to 877-933-2484. And I pray you found some encouragement here today. God loves you, and he wants you to be the you he made you to be. I pray you'll start to dream big dreams with God and see what he might do in and through you. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.